To Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I generally preach either on series of messages on people of the Bible or preach through books of the Bible. But here recently, it seems like the Lord has just brought messages to my life, and maybe that sometimes break away from that. And Luke chapter 15, of course, is the story of the prodigal son. And I wouldn't even try to guess how many times, probably through history, that this passage has been preached on. I want to take it at a little different angle this morning and preach it from a little different perspective. But, guys, I forgot to give you my outline back here. Would it help you if I had it? It's too late. Would you care to run that back to the guys? They like to put that up on the board sometimes, and I think it'd be helpful to them. And but I want to say, just while we're doing this, I want to say happy Father's Day, and to not just fathers, but to men. You know, you don't have to be a physical father to be a spiritual father to many people. And I just want to encourage the men. I'm going to do something again, and I appreciated what Brother Glidden did and recognizing and encouraging men to serve the Lord. But I'm going to ask all the men of this, if you're 20 years and up, would you please stand today? If you're 20 years up, a man in this church, not just a father, but you're a man in this, and you're here today, and you're visiting or whatever, we're glad to have you come. But I want to, now what I want you to just stand up. Now I'm going to tell you something. This has for many, many years, ever since we started, been the strength, in a sense, of the human aspect of this church. Amen. One of the goals that I've had was to build strong men, and then strong marriages. Strong marriages make strong families, and strong families make strong church. And a strong church will affect their community and the world for Jesus Christ. And I want to say with all of my heart, I love you men. I deeply, deeply appreciate you. I probably couldn't express to you how much you mean to me and how important your life is to this church. It's far more important than you probably ever dream or realize. There are many churches across America today that do not have hardly any men in them. And it's so sad. But I can tell you one thing about America. America is not lost. Amen. When men like you will bring your families to church, to the house of God. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, I love you and I appreciate every single one of you. And I want to encourage you in the Lord. I want you to know I have my failures and my slips and my falls and mess ups. And I'm just saved by the sweet grace of God. But I just love you, men. And I want to encourage you. And I would just like for all you rest of you, and you can be seated. Would you give your daddies and the men of this church a hand this morning of appreciation? How would you like to come to church and all these men not be here? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? And that's not to negate the value of our mothers and women and the children. But is there any new babies that I haven't introduced to the church? Any new babies anywhere? I'm always missing something. Well, if not, we're going to get right into the message. In Luke chapter 15 this morning, we're going to pick the story up. You know the story up to the point this one son woke up one morning and he got a good old dose of rebellion. The devil and him been having a talk that night, probably for several months. And he told his dad he wanted everything to belong to him. And he left out and headed to the hog pen trail, the old preacher said. And so he gets down there and he gets the end of himself. And verse 17 says, when he came to himself, he said, how many have hired servants? My father's had bread enough to eat and spare. I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Whoa, amen. I will arise and go to my father.
Amen.
Amen. Bunch of sissies, bunch of wimps out there. I'll tell you right now, the greatest day of your life was when you arose and said, I will go to my father's house. Amen. It's Father's Day. I'll go to my father's house. Amen. If there's anything God ever done good for you, he made himself your father. Amen. He made you his son. That's a miracle of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you what, it'll mean more to you when you've lost your daddy, I guess. But anyway, he said, I'll go to my father's house. That ain't what I'm preaching on, but boy, I tell you, that excites me. Amen. And he'll say unto him, Father, this is what's going to happen to you. I have sinned. You'll never be a man, never be a woman. You'll never be grown up till you quit blaming everybody else and everything else and say, I have sinned. against heaven and before thee. And then I'll tell you, if y'all start growing, this is the kind of attitude you'll have. I am no more worthy. Humility. It's not about me anymore. It's about God. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. Boy, you talk about good. Amen. I'll tell you, that happens to you. I'll tell you what, you're going to have a party, and we're fixing to look at the party. You'll have rejoicing and stuff. I want you to look what it says in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. Man, ain't you glad God will see you when you start heading toward him?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I believe, man. I believe you get saved in your seat today. If you'll say, Father, I'm coming to you. You don't have to be at that bench to get saved. God saves you inside your soul. He saves your spirit wherever you're at. The moment you say, Father, I'm coming to you for salvation. I'm trusting your son, Jesus Christ. And he said, his father saw him. I'm glad God sees us. Amen. And then he said there and he had compassion. God has compassion on those that are humble and repentant. And then the Bible says he ran. God runs. Amen. God will run right at you. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his feet and shoes on his feet. Now, I'm not preaching on all that stuff. You know, all that's been preached up one side of that church wall and down the other. And it'll forever, eternally be good. In verse number 3, and here's where I want to get started. And bring hither the fatty calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and found, and they begin to be merry. Now, I want you to know something. I want you to look at the word merry.
Yeah.
I know it ain't much in America culture anymore, but it's all right to be merry.
Amen.
I didn't say silly, stupid, crazy. I didn't say laugh like a hyena or something wicked. I'm talking about something merry in your heart because of the holy, good, right, amen, it's of God. And he said that, what's the daddy? He said in verse 23, and he said, be merry. Verse 24, he said, this my son was dead and was alive again, was lost and is found. They begin to be what? Merry. Hey, a church ought to be a merry place. I'll tell you something, I like it when they say Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you, ain't nothing to say wrong saying merry. Amen. Be merry. Verse 25. Now, now what's going on in verse 23 and 24 is a revival. I'm telling you, they're having revival. But there's somebody going to come on the scene who's going to ruin the revival. Whether you understand it or not, this church is in the middle of revival. This is the truth. You see, I don't believe in we have our spring revival, our fall revival, and then we don't have revival the rest of the year. I believe a church can live in revival.
Amen.
Every Sunday ought to be revival Sunday, amen.
Amen.
And so they're having revival in verse 23, and they're being married, happy. And now verse 24, now the elder son. You'd say that with some dignity. The elder son was in the field, and as he drew it, by the way, now folks, that guy was serving, he was in the field.
Right.
Now be careful. I tell you something, it ain't the drunk or the drug head that's going to kill revival. It's going to be the elders, self-righteous, holier than thou Christian,
yeah,
that's going to kill revival.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said there, the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house. He heard music and dancing. I know y'all don't believe in dancing. Not yet. You'll get there, amen. I believe you ought to have a holy dance in your soul.
Amen.
Now, I don't want you to get up here and show us your moves in church. Don't you do that. I'll slap you with the Bible. Don't get up and show me your moves. Now, I'm talking about having a hillbilly Holy Ghost revival, amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about get so happy and God will make you jump up and down. You can't help yourself, amen.
Yeah.
But don't be dancing at the church if you ain't dancing at the house.
Amen.
And the reason there ain't much dancing going on at the church is because most of it's fake and phony and you're putting on a show for other folks to see. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so we quit dancing. Oh, you're quiet. Now, listen. So anyway, he comes on down there and he calls on the servants and asks him, what's going on down at the house? So what's these things mean? In verse 27, he said to him, the servant said unto the elder son, thy brother is come and thy father hath killed the fatty calf because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry, would not go in, therefore his father came out. Now watch this, the daddy comes out of the house, the father comes out of the father's house.
Right.
This is important.
Right.
This is critical. He comes out of the house And therefore, and he said, come out of that house. And he said, the father came out and entreated him. He answered and said to his father, all these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make what?
Miracle.
He said, I ain't never been happy in my life. Self-righteous people can't never be happy. They got nothing to be happy because they're living like a hypocrite. They know they're not good enough, but they want to make themselves think they are. Verse 30, but as soon as, watch this thy son, he never did call him his brother. This thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should do what? Fourth time you're going to read this the word Mary. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, is lost and found. Now that's something I want you to notice. The chapter ends and the story ends. Daddy never was told you that the father ever went back in the house. You listen to me. I want you to take this message. I want you to put it in the pocket of your soul. I don't want you to ever forget it. I want to preach this morning on how to ruin a revival. Don't you just like people that rain on your parade? Oh, I tell you what, it's deer season. And you put out your illegal corn all 6 months before. Yeah, man. You put out your illegal corn and you've got that big bucket coming. He's a 12-pointer. And bless God Almighty, it come up there and you's up in your deer stand at 3:30 in the morning freezing for that stupid buck. And you shot him, amen. You gut-dressed him and you've got this big old rack. And you run, oh, glory to God. I'm going to bring it up church on Sunday morning, put it in the back of my truck. And you walked up there and Don's in. Hey, come out here. Look at this 12-point buck. And he kind of, what'd you do, kill one? Yeah, I got me a 12-pointer. He's got 18-inch spread on it. Come out here, look at him. We're fixing to have church in here, Don.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me what's the problem.
Rain.
Little kid comes in church. He got him a spike buck. Yeah. Well, you get big, you'll kill a big one like I used to. You ever see people like that? It don't make any difference what's going on in your life. I got me a new job. How much you pay an hour? Oh, I make more than that just doing that. Constantly raining on everybody else's parade. They was having revival at the house of the Father. They was dancing and making merry and having a great time. Here comes the elder son in. I'm not interested in looking. You know what? Which one? You're the deer killer, right? Well, tell me about the buck that you killed last year. Tell me about it. I want to hear all about it just a little bit.
Just a little spike.
Just a little spike? Is that all you can kill? That's how you do it. Is that all you can kill? Bambi. You kill Bambi. Yeah. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go home and go, Pastor, he kind of just put rain on my parade. I'll tell you something right now. Don't rain on other people's parades. Amen. Oh, we got, hey, you guys, we're going to have a new baby. Oh, really? How many are you going to have anyway? Amen. I'll tell you something. Listen, Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. I may be glad for people. I went back. Zeb Zinn, where are you at back here? Zeb Zinn, stand back here. I hear you're going and you got yourself starting a business again. Is that right? He's in the insurance business. I went by, I hugged him. I said, I wish you good luck in your new endeavor. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to rain. Well, don't you know, hey, do this. You know what? We was building this church right here. Guy drove up one day out there. I don't know what he come up here for. He said, I heard you was all building the church up here. Yeah, we're building a church. There's already enough churches in Norwood. Rain on your parade, amen. Don't you let me around people ain't got no enthusiasm about nothing. They're mad at the whole world. Don't want nobody doing any good. They want, they're socialists. Yeah. They want everybody to live on the low level. Somebody drove in with a new truck. I always said, don't be jealous of other people's payments. Amen. That's stupid. Amen. Don't be raining on, I'll tell you, don't be putting out somebody's holy fire. Don't kill other people's enthusiasm. Don't kill revival. But you say, Reggie, how can a man ruin a revival? If we're not careful, you and I will be the ones ruining revival. I used to go out and preach revival meetings, and this is the honest truth, what happened? It might be one, might be two, might be five people get saved that week, and it's all happy, and you'd see some old saint back there with his arms folded. And you know what? If I could read his mind, it was like this.
You'll get over it someday like I did. You'll be sour too. Just stay in church long enough. I want to tell you what, when God does something in somebody's life, you ought to be happy for them. Amen? You ought to be happy for them. Well, what happened after verse 32? Verse 32 is the last verse in the chapter. Hey, whatever happened? I want to ask him, did they have a fight? You reckon the elder or that younger son had a fight? Doesn't say, does it? Did the father ever go back in the house? Doesn't say, does it? I wonder why the Holy Ghost left all that out. What, did the party kind of go? Did the elder son walk in the house and go? Everybody can hear him. What happened? We don't know. But I believe the silence of the Holy Ghost speaks volumes to us that we need to be careful what we're doing. Four times it said there that they made merry. Psalms 85, verse number 6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Revival always brings rejoicing. You say, Reggie, what the elder son did and said ruined that revival right there. Ruined it. It was a perfect setup for revival. They were at the father's house, the church. The father was in the house. Amen. Look, can I tell you something? That praying's important, preaching's important, singing's important, but I want to tell you all of it. If you ain't got the father in the house, you ain't having revival, amen. That's the most important thing in the world, is to have the father in the house. Well, not only that, but sinners were being saved and wayward people were being brought back to Christ and the dead were given life and servants were serving. But then the verse 28, the Bible said the father came out of the house.
Amen.
It never does say he went back in. The story abruptly ends. I've wondered this, has the elder son ever welcomed the prodigal son home? Did the elder son ever go in there and say, "Man, I'm glad to see you, brother"? Don't say that. That bothers me. Yeah. Did the elder son ever go in and eat and dance? Doesn't look like it. Did the father ever go back in the house? Now here's the point. That house speaks of the church, the father's presence in it, and the power of God while he was there. But the father went outside to somebody who's all ticked off. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you and I that are older Christians get sour-headed and critical and condemning, and the father has to go outside, it may kill the revival in this church house. I'm telling you right now, the elder son that said he was in the field, I don't know what he's doing out there, but he was ticked. And I believe when he came back and seen his brother there, I think he was afraid he might lose some of his inheritance.
Yeah.
I believe he got jealous. What if the father has to go outside the church to visit his children? I hope God doesn't have to come out my house and say, "Reggie, what's wrong?" I want you to tuck it away. Now I'm going to give you about 3, 4, 5, 6 things, 7, 12, 15 things, and we're going to go home, all right?
Amen.
Number one, if you want to write it down, how to run a revival of God. Number one, when the people have an undesired meal. Now, let's have some fun this morning, all right? There was an unwanted meal by that boy, elder son. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't get mad at me, but if you get mad at me, I'm just happy. I don't know. No, I'm not happy. I don't care. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You vegetarians, I feel sorry for you. You're sitting around eating asparagus and almonds. You look so pale. You know why I think most of the Antifa, they look like vegetarians to me. They do. You know why I also think, hey, this Bible, it really rips them animal rights activists up. You know what your Bible just said? They brought the fatted calf in and killed it.
Amen.
That'll upset an animal rights activist, amen? That'll put him up a tree.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the Bible said they brought the fatted calf in and they butchered him and they had hamburger and steak, amen. Might even had some chili and beans, I don't know. But they weren't eating almonds and spaghetti. Now, if you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. That leaves more meat for the rest of us. I'll tell you what. It's funny. Some of you shut your TV off right there, didn't you? Oh, I knew there's something bad about him. You animal rights activists, let me tell you what's wrong with you. You read your Bible and they said they brought the fatty calf. You mean they brought that calf up, they hand fed there in the stall and fed him every day and then all of a sudden they cut his throat and hided him and gutted him and took him out and ate him? Yeah. Oh! And they're going naked. These animal rights people, then women get up and do naked ads. And they'll talk about killing this and killing that. And you shouldn't kill a fox. And you shouldn't kill a coon. And you shouldn't kill this. And you shouldn't kill Bambi. And all that. And they'll protest and they'll go to the animal farms and they're worrying about raising hogs and raising cattle. Ain't this right? Hey, you animal rights activists, I'm preaching right straight at your brain. Because you ain't got one. God said he killed the fatted calf.
Amen. Amen.
Hmm. Well, you little sweet animal rights activists, you don't like for us to kill the deer. You don't like the slaughtering plant. You think you ought to kiss the monkeys, hug the owls. And you pretty near died to save, you know, some little stupid animal. But I don't talk to you guys and you girls in animal rights activists. It don't bother you a bit, bit that they butcher babies in the womb.
That's right.
Hey, you listen to me, you sorry hypocrite. You self-righteous, stinking hypocrite. You bunch of animal rights activists, hypocrites. You gripe at us about butchering and eating meat and killing the animals to eat, and then you go butcher your own babies. You're hell's biggest hypocrites I ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Somebody needs to say that in the United States of America. I'm talking about taking a baby. Are you listening? Can I use him for an example? We're going to abort you right now, boy. We're going to take that baby. Okay, stand up in that seat, would you? Right there. Hey, are you listening to me? You listen to me. We're talking about taking a little bitty baby, are you listening to me? And ripping his arms off and ripping his head off and puncturing his brain and crushing his brain and blood everywhere.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Right.
Now, this ain't even my message. But I want to tell you right now, you ain't never seen no more reprobate than somebody who's an animal rights activist, vegetarian bunch of slop, and then kill a baby. That's the biggest thing I ever seen in my life. Boy, I tell you what, we survived it, didn't we? Look at that smile. Aren't you glad they didn't abort him? Woo! If your mom and daddy ever gets tired of you, come to me in Karen's house. We'll take you, amen. I'm talking this morning about this. I'll get back to my message. The Bible said, did you know what the Bible said? Father had a feast going on. Listen to me, some of you are going to lose your amens here a little bit. Cotton up. The Father said there's a meal in here. Come on down. The elder son said, I don't want it. I don't want it. You know what that's a picture of? People that are running revival because they don't want the meal God gives for them. They don't want the milk. You know what they want? They either want bottled milk or they want vegetables.
Yeah.
They don't want the meat of the word.
Right.
They don't want to go to a church where they preach on anything.
That's right.
Amen. I tell you, if I ain't made you mad in the last 2 years, you ain't been to church enough. That's why you come. You just come once in about 3 months and I make you mad every time. Amen. I'm saying to you, listen, this Bible's meat of the word. It'll tell us what it is, tell us who we are, tell us what we're like, amen. I'm saying this, if people can't take the truth anymore, people won't go into the Father's house to eat the meal, amen. In Matthew chapter 5, it said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, amen. But if you're going to run a revival, you say, I ain't going to. I'll tell you what I can do. You think I'm kidding you? I can book a revival for 2 weeks from tonight and say we're going to be here for 2 weeks. Got one preacher, half of you wouldn't be here. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Come on, amen, amen, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to go on for a little bit. But if I said we're having the singing ham bones in and the musical hot dogs, you say, when are they going to be there, Reg? But if it's just old-time Bible preaching on sin and preaching on the blood and preaching on the book and preaching on the basin and preaching on Christ and preaching on the resurrection and preaching on God the Father, I don't like that meat. I ain't going in to eat that.
Yeah.
It's all across the country. People, they're only going to find a church where they got noodles and almonds.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now, can I tell you this much? You know what that calf spoke of? Blood sacrifice. God started it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, killed an innocent sacrifice, shed blood for their sins. That's what that's speaking of. What's telling you people don't want to go to a place that'll tell them they're sinners, that'll tell them they need a redeemer, that'll tell them you can't save yourself, that'll tell them you need the mercy of God, and that's all that'll save you by the grace of God. Amen. I want to ask you, do you want the meal? God will eventually give you what you want. You don't want it, tell you what God will do. God will give you the spiritual barrenness. People want to be pastored and lied to. And one of the reasons I'm on this thing is a pastor talked to me this week, and he said, Reggie, I'm telling you right now, said, we was running 70 and 80 people strong at our little old church there, and he said, we was doing, seemed like do good. Said, the COVID-19 thing, come and watch me now. He said, I found out what went on. He said, Reggie, we're running 30 now. He said it gave him the opportunity to start missing church. And he said, now you know what's going on? Sunday, they're down at the creek, they're down at the beach, they're everywhere but church on Sunday. People want to be pampered and lied to. I'm telling you right now, and that pastor's heart was grieving. You know why? Because it revealed the heart of his people to him. So number one, way to ruin a revival is don't want the preaching and the word of God, the meat of God's word. Don't come in for the meal. It's the honest truth. Did you know why there's not many revivals in America now? People won't come to them. They won't come. I'm going to ask you. So number two, we're going to grow. Oh, my land, sakes alive. An unusual sound. He heard an unusual sound. Now, I want to tell you something right now. God's a God of order. But I'll tell you, the friends of the elder son, they said, what's going on in there? They said, well, there's music and dancing. Do you know what that music and dancing did? It bothered him. They were shouting, they were singing, they were rejoicing, they were being merry. There was joy in the church house of God. And but you know what happens to us? We get so sophisticated and so proud. I'm so sick of these puny, pretendy, little pukey, punk preachers with their glass pulpits and their little microphone that comes down here and their shirt tucked out here. And they got the little, it looks like they're down at the beach with their little sandals on and they're walking around strutting around the pulpit in their blue jeans. I'm sick of that garbage. I'm sick of that. I better tuck my britches back in. Amen. Tuck my shirt back in my britches. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you right now, they got their little designer blue jeans on. Then they got their little fake Bibles and they're strutting around like a peacock trying to be Rick Warren.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Yep. We're sophisticated and so proud. God ever visited. We got our doctrine right, but our heart's wrong. Dead praying, dead singing, dead preaching. I don't tell you what. You say, I'm tired of you griping at me about singing. I'll tell you, until you get your book in your hand and get up here, I'm still going to preach at you about singing.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to no dead church. I'm not pastor no dead church. I'll tell you what, I'm not letting the world take the joy of the Lord and the fire of God out of my soul. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this place ought to be a place of praise, thanksgiving, happiness, singing, hands up. Oh, you say God's a God of order. That's exactly right. But I'm telling you, there ought to be some life in the church. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read this to you just for jokes. In my book I wrote, Walk the Sea with Me, that's having church on Sunday morning. The chapter's Puppies and Mice. And I wrote this because of my experiences along the trail of my life. I hate dead churches. Amen. In the story here, the preacher, he's just kind of a wimpy. He just go along with whatever. He's just a hireling. Well, anyway, it comes Sunday morning, it says, with Bible class over, the choir gathered up behind the pulpit, and the song leader announced the first song. And when they finished the song, the superintendent gave the church bulletin announcements. Yawns and more yawns. And then they had sung a second song. And then the ushers took up the offering. There's more yawns. And then the couple sung a quartet song. And then the pastor began his message, and more people began to... And then the preacher said, please turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse number 6, where the Bible says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on thy God. And heads popped off their chest. So I look out sometime at the church and I think everybody thinks we're dismissing. We're not dismissing. You got your head down like that. We're not praying to get you up. Amen. But anyway, he said, O sleeper, rise, call upon thy God. And the preacher laughed. He said, I'm just kidding. Everybody seems tired today. At least I got your attention for a little while. There was a little light laugh across the church house. And then he began his sermon. The book of Jonah, like other sections of the Bible, has accounts that may or may not have happened. That's the kind of preacher you don't want to listen to. Amen. But nonetheless, has great lessons of life for us that can help us on our journey to find truth. He learned that at seminary. My actual text is found in Jonah 4, verse number 4, verse number 9. God says to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry? And the writer of Proverbs said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. Jonah had two problems at least. One was anger and the other was fear. And the late, great FDR said, nevertheless, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified fear. Well, the pastor was about 15 minutes in the message when about halfway through, when a lady by the name of Wilda, 28 years old and somewhat excitable, expecting her second child in the fifth month or a little further, sitting on the outside edge against the wall. Is there any lady like that here today? And four rows back, one, two, three, four, and she noticed a slight movement on the floor. Are you listening? Now, I'm talking about being in a dead church. Are you listening? I'm talking about being in a dead church. She noticed a slight movement on the floor at the base of the pew right in front of her. Looking down, she saw a very large gray mouse staring right at her with demonic eyes. Wilda's husband never came to church with her, but her three-year-old son was sitting on her left side asleep and leaning on her arm. With a Wilda screamed a blood-curdling scream and said, jumped up on the pew of the church. And her little three-year-old son fell over and hit his head on the wooden pew, and he started crying. Wilda screamed with a blood-curdling scream. The whole church lurched awake, hoping they had not missed the second coming of Jesus. Wilda shot up on a pew and shouted, Lord God Almighty, a mouse! That's more excitement than most churches have had in 60 years. Yeah. Other girls joined in the hallelujah courses as the mouse took off across the front of the church. It was a genuine awakening to the church, albeit not a spiritual one. The pastor somehow missed the part of it was a mouse, as did most of the hard of hearing in the church. He was just sure that Sister Wilda had been down at the Pentecostal meetings and had gotten some of their stuff and decided to bring it into their church. He just stood there and watched. Suddenly, an elderly lady who couldn't hear much said, glory to God! Which was followed by a couple old men said, amen, amen. The first that had been heard in a long time. Of course, everybody was awake by now, and Wilda quit dancing and climbed back down out of the pew. But there was a sudden quietness that fell on the congregation. Wilda looked around, still standing up, said, I just hate mice. They scared me to death. He looked right at me with those beady, devilish eyes. And there was a chuckle and then a thunderclap of hooting and laughing in the church that went on for a few minutes. And finally, the preacher said, well, it'll be hard for me to get going again after this. Let's just sing a hymn and go home. We'll try again tonight. And I'm going to put in my diary, this was the mouse revival at our church. That's the most excitement some church has ever gotten. Yeah, yeah. You know what? When a mouse can get you up on a pew dancing, amen. Yeah. But the glory of God can't. Something bad wrong in your life, amen. You say, what are you talking about, Reggie? I'm talking about the elder son. He looked with high disdain and a high chin and the rejoicing going on. And I tell you what, it's bad when other people can't get excited about somebody else's victories and joys and successes in life. Number three, I'll tell you what, he was unfaithful in attendance. You want to run a revival, just be unfaithful in attendance. And you say, Reggie, you're hitting that. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. He was angry and would not go in. Are you looking at your Bibles? He was angry and would not go in. Now listen to me tight this morning. Can't get choked for church folk sometimes to be half faithful. What does it take for you to sit out at the house? I'll tell you why America's in the mess it's in. Are you listening tight to me this morning? America's in the mess it's in because while they're having prayer meeting, we're watching TV. And you wonder why the U.S. is going to hell? That shut it down, didn't it?
Yeah.
I knew it would.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me this year. Oh, what's happened to our country? What's happened to our country? What's happened to our country? You won't go to prayer meeting?
Amen.
You say, well, I couldn't get there. I don't go. I just come when I want to. Oh, my hair hurts. I couldn't get to church. That's about as good as excuses are. I mean, my hair hurts.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I got to work tomorrow. Well, we went fishing. My dog's fixing to have puppies, and she may have them during the message. Give your dog to God and get on to church. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, we went hunting. I'm checking on my illegal corn. All the kids had t-ball last night, and we were up to 11:30. Oh, we went to see the Cardinals. Oh, we had such a good time, all that beer guzzling around us. That was so much fun. Let me go off on a rabbit trail. Ever since the day I got saved, I never had no more time for NASCAR, NFL, Cardinals and none of that beer joint stuff.
Amen.
They all do their stuff on Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. They showed their colors this week. Bunch of politically correct cowards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You sit down there at the back bumper of your truck at NASCAR, drinking your beer and cooking your hot dogs or eating your noodles.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. What's it take to keep you out of church? You say, well, prayer meeting's boring. Well, why don't you spend the night with Christ praying out in the wilderness? Huh? Nobody ever told you that it was entertaining. Nobody ever told you he's going to have a fine time on Wednesday night. But can I tell you right now, everything that's going on in this church on Sunday morning is happening because of Wednesday night.
Amen.
He got ticked, so he's not going in. Oh, yeah, just keep it up. 20 years from now, this church will be dead like the rest of them. But you can all trace it back to because you wouldn't be faithful.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say some stuff a little tough right now, so hang on. I want to talk to people listening online. We love you. We're glad you're listening. We hope it will be a blessing and help to you. But our heart's desire is that you have a church where you're at.
Amen.
Most of you do not have a King James Bible preaching church in the area that you live in. But many of you are just hurt. You got wounded in the house of your friends. And I'm going to tell you something very honestly. As much as we appreciate you listening, we'd rather you have a good church with a good pastor doing the work of God wherever you're at. And that's the honest truth. The raw truth of it is that people all over America and the world don't have a church to go to. And if you don't have a church in your area, we want you to listen in. If you've got a church in your area, we'd rather you just listen to the message later in the week after we're done. But get to church. Because it'd be hypocritical for, like, you're listening? It'd be hypocritical for me to tell those people to listen in. They're not church anywhere this morning. And then give you all a pass.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as the day approaches. Jesus prayed all night. I ain't a good prayer. That's never been my strong point. But I know God answers prayer.
Yes.
Number four, he was dishonest about his own life. Look at verse number 29. He answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. He's lying out his teeth. He's dishonest. You tell me you ain't never transgressed, you ain't never done nothing wrong. He's lying. That's a self-righteous, dishonest lie. He's not being honest with himself. And let me tell you something. The Bible, you'll never do no good in your life till, behold, thou desirest truth, the inward parts. All God wants you to do is get honest with yourself. But I don't tell you what, we've got a sin of honesty in this world. We've got guilt being balanced with blame. Oh, yeah, I did wrong, but it's somebody else's fault. I did wrong, but somebody else, if they hadn't done this, if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't have done that. You're not right. You never will be right till you get that garbage out of your head.
Sure.
He was dishonest about his own righteousness. Number five, he had an unforgiving spirit. Listen to this thing. Look at verse number 30. I'm talking about how to ruin a revival. Amen. Got to be honest about things. Can't be floating around there. Verse number 30, he said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living heart, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now you listen to me. Does anybody know what happened right here? He immediately brought up the past. You know how you know you ain't forgiven? If somebody has repented, that boy had, and listen, I can understand if somebody has dirty dogged and they've done wrong and they're not willing to make it right, how you cannot have fellowship with them and things won't be right until it's made right. But this boy, this younger son had come home and made things right. This elder brother didn't even give him a chance. He started bringing up the past. And let me tell you something. You and I, if God brought up our past every day to us, wouldn't we be in fine shape?
Yeah.
You say, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we can ruin revival over an offense. If they get right and ask forgiveness, let God. If they don't, let God have it. Learn these three phrases of Scripture and Bible. Lay not this sin to their charge. I have went down the road before, and Satan just bothered me, and my flesh bothered me about stuff. And I start quoting this. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the next thing I know, I'm all right. Amen.
Amen.
Who hasn't needed a second chance? Is anybody in this church ever not needed a second chance? Third chance. fourth chance, fifth chance, sixth chance. I need 1,000 chances. Amen.
Amen.
Who in this church has not done things you've regretted? Who in this church has not failed in sin since you've gotten saved? Who in this church has not dropped the ball? Who in this church has not needed a forgiving hug and an embrace? Who in this church do not have scars on you from past sins of the past? Who in this church would live life over differently if you had the chance to? Thank God for those who've loved and forgave me.
Amen.
If God were not merciful and gracious, none of us would be here this morning.
Right.
Number six. And this is a big one. Verse number 28, 31, and 32, he had an unthankful attitude. I want you to look at verse number 28. Now, this is amazing. And he was angry and would not go in. Now, watch this. Here's where this revival got run. He said, therefore, his father came out and entreated him. That word entreat means literally, folks, begged him. Son, come on. Don't be like this. It's your brother. He was down in the hog pen. He was lost. He's found. Son, don't stand out here and act like this. Son, I'm begging, come on in the house. Rejoice with us and be glad. He's standing out there, his arms folded up. Hard-hearted man told me when I started preaching, he said, you know, Reggie, I want to tell you, he said, life's going to go by fast in the house. I can't believe I've been married 43 years nearly. And you listen to me, he said this, and it's so true. He said, Reggie, there'll be one of two ways Satan will try to take you as you get older. One will be to compromise and just compromise and compromise and become a spiritual wimp and stand for nothing. The other will be to become hard and calloused and mean and resentful and unloving and uncaring and ungiving. Don't get in either ditch. And here this boy was. He's over in this hard ditch. The father treated him. But you know what he did? He reminded the elder son of God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. I want to say something to you. If you don't remember anything else I preached today, I want you to hear this. The older I get, the more I see this. Understand it. Me preaching the law and preaching on sin is not going to save you. It'll just make you aware that you need to be saved. Let me tell you what will get you saved. That's the goodness of God.
Amen.
All the father did was reminded him. He said, all that I have is yours. He reminded him, you know what the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if the goodness of God will not lead you to repentance, nothing else will ever lead you. Because God's word says that's what will lead you to repentance. They had an unthankful attitude. Let me tell you what's wrong with America. We're unthankful. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Boy, I'm thankful for that book. And I'm thankful that somebody introduced me to this book. And everything I know that's right, true, and holy. You know, I've decided I don't want common sense. I want biblical sense. Because common sense in America, it ain't biblical no more. I'm thankful for this book. I'm thankful for this church. Do we realize what God has done? Do we realize how good God has been to us? I was telling Brother Jeremy this morning, I said, Jeremy, and don't get proud about this, but I said, did you know nearly 5,000 people have listened to your message on don't let the devil hang you out or stretch you out, stretch your hide out? There's people listening to that message all over the world. You know what, Jeremy? They don't hear old country cornbread and beans preaching like that makes sense to them. Can you imagine just a boy that preaches once a month here reaching 5,000 people with a simple gospel message?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we need to be thankful, church. Please, please listen to me. If anything will take the power of God off of this building and off of this place, it's we get to be unthankful for how good God is. I am nothing, you're nothing, we're nothing apart from the grace of God. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful to be saved. Amen. And I'm going to be merry when I come to church. And I'm going to be happy in the Lord. I'm thankful for my wife that stayed with me for 43 years. Amen. I know she loves me because she suffered long. Amen. I'm going to be thankful for my family. Man, I tell you, I'm rich. Amen. This week, Nathan comes driving up in a little buggy there and Cash is with him. Cash, you still awake back there? Nathan says, I got me a toy. I got me a cat dozer bucket with a bucket, you know. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm like a kid. I mean, when they have them this big, they're happy. But when they get them that big, they're really happy. Amen. And I got this 953 cat track loader. It's got a cab on it. And boy, it's got controls everywhere. And you punch it with your feet. And old Cash, I had it for about a week. And he kept telling his daddy, I want to ride with Grandpa on that dozer. I want to ride with Grandpa on that dozer. And he come driving up and said, he wants to ride with you. He jumped up there in the morning. He jumps up between my legs right there looking out, and me and him rode the dozer all day to noon, amen. They went and they dinner together, and I sat there all morning on that cat dozer, and I said, God help me to be thankful. Grandpa, what's that control do? Try it. Whoa! Grandpa, what will that pedal do? Try it. Whoa! And his head was doing this. We was riding Broncos, amen. I'm the most blessed guy in the world. You know why? Because God gave me my heart. Let's have children, amen. Let's raise them for God, amen. Let's keep them out in the country, amen. I'm blessed. You know what's wrong with these riders, these looters? They're not thankful.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, they're living in the greatest country in the world. And they're mad and busting up everything, looting and stealing. And I mean, they're mad to live in America. Mad to live in America. You know why? Because they're not thankful. Romans chapter 1 says, when the Sodomite culture comes in, neither were they thankful.
Amen.
Oh, listen, I'm thankful for my freedom. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God. I'm thankful for the food on our table. I'm thankful for the clothes on my back. I'm thankful for a roof over my head. I'm thankful for work to do. I'm thankful for my fellowship and opportunities. And I tell you, I'm thankful for my American heritage and the founders and the Constitution and the Pilgrims and the Puritans. No, I feel sorry for those rioters. Because everything I ever done wrong, I've reaped. And they're busting out glasses and stealing people's property. And they're going to be old men. And they're going to watch their sons and their grandsons get looted and rioted. They're going to reap 1,000-fold what they're sowing today. And their descendants will curse them in hell and gnash on them. Because they follow their rioting fathers to hell. Oh, listen to me. Unthankfulness will ruin a revival. We need to come in here every morning and be thankful that God gave us Sundays to worship, a song to sing, a gospel to preach, and a love to fellowship with. Back in the 1800s, it was Christmas time, and word had got out that the orphanage there in the city was letting orphans go home with people who would take them so they could have a family Christmas with somebody. And this couple who couldn't have children heard about it, and they got down there, and the lady at the orphanage said, well, they're all gone. Said, everybody's come and took them. There ain't no kids left. They said, oh, we hate that so bad. We were actually looking to adopt a child. And they started to leave, and the lady said, well, she said, to be honest with you, she said, there's a little boy. We just got him last night off the street, come living in the alley. But we ain't got him cleaned up yet. He's got lice in his hair and dirt all over. Said he's ragged. Said he's a mess. I said, you let us get him cleaned up, and said, you come back and get him, but it'd be a few days. And they said, no, we'll take him just like he is. We'd like to have him just like he is. I said, don't worry about cleaning him up. She went back to the orphanage and come out this boy. And he was a mess, worse than they had imagined. They said, we're going to take you home, have Christmas with us. They put him in the carriage. And the little boy looked around and said, it's a fancy carriage. And the man said, son, this is your carriage too now. He got home to their home. And he said, my, this is a nice house. They said, this is your house now. It's your house too. They took him back to a room that they had prepared for him. Had a nice bed there. And he said, boy, this is a nice room, nice bed. And they said, this is your room and it's your bed now if you want it. They took him in there in the bathroom. And he said, boy, oh boy. I said, this is pretty nice. They put him down in the bathtub, put that warm water on him. They started cleaning him up. She got some stuff to get that lice out of his hair. Started fixing him up. And they took the old clothes off of him. The lady started to take him outside. She was going to burn him at the pile. And about the time she started to drop them into the flames, she decided, no, I'm just going to wash these up real good and fold them up for him. Might be someday he'd want these for some reason or another. She didn't really know just why, but she did. She washed them up. She put them in the bottom drawer of the dresser. And anyway, he come down to eat dinner. And she had good food out there, beans and potatoes and cornbread and onions, amen. And boy, I'll tell you, a little bit of roast and the fatted calf, amen. And he looked at that table and he said, boy, this is a good meal. And they said, this is your table. You're welcome here anytime. Well, they went along there. They kept him. About 2 months later, one morning, the mother come down to the father and she said, honey, she said something wrong. Said, I don't think that boy's happy here at all. Said, I noticed if you watch him close, that he's been crying. He said, I think he's wanting to leave. Said he'd been crying. And he said, well, I don't know all about it. She said, oh, I can tell. I said, you look at him right, that he comes down the morning, said, you'll see where they've had tears in his eyes. And she said, I'm afraid he's going to be leaving us. Well, the next morning they got a plan. And before that boy woke up, the daddy, he went in there and he got inside the clothes closet and he opened the door, let it open about that so he could watch that boy in the room. Well, then the mama come in like she generally did, and she shook him, woke him up, says, time to get up. Said, get yourself washed and clothes on. Said, we'll have breakfast here in just a little bit. And so she left the room, and the man stood there, and he watched through the closet door. And the boy got up, and he walked over to the basin and started washing his face. And he looked up in the mirror. He reached down, got some water, and put some water on his head. Reached over and got a brush and started brushing, combing his hair. And he said he just looked at himself. And he said, directly a little tear started coming down his eye. He said, then the strangest thing happened. He said, that little boy walked over to that bottom drawer of that dresser, and he reached down and pulled that dresser out and said, he pulled out them old clothes. He said, he brought them over in front of the mirror, and he hung that old pair of overalls out in front of him, up against them brand new overalls he had on. And he said, when he did, said, tears began to run down his eyes. And he said, that boy's crying. He said, a little bit, he folded them old overalls back up, put him back in the bottom drawer and pulled it out. They went downstairs. They went down. The father talked to the mama later in the day and said, honey, said, you don't worry about that boy leaving. Said, he just ain't forgot where he come from. Sometimes in your life, you need to go to the drawer of the past and pull out the rags of your sinful life and remember where God brought you from. Sometimes we need to go to the mirror of reality and see how God has changed us. You want to ruin revival? Just get high and mighty and think you're something when you're nothing. Amen. It's like this week in Sunday school class I told you. In my wildest dreams, in my wildest imagination, I never dreamed. Since last Sunday, there's been 3,600 people listen to the message preached last Sunday. Wednesday night service, we've had 1,700 or 1,800 people listen to Wednesday night service. 2 weeks ago today, there's been almost 7,000 people listen to the message. We're reaching people that I never dreamed possible. But in the midst of this, the Lord has spoke to my heart and said, Reggie, but what about your neighbors down the street? Yeah. Oh, you're all excited about reaching everybody across the country, but when's the last time you did something good for your neighbors? You want to have revival? Go to that drawer where lays your rags that God saved you. And you say, well, I don't think I've got any rags in no drawer. Well, maybe you've never been saved then. He said, honey, he's not unhappy. He's just remembering. Most of us have had it too good. We're spoiled rotten. That's what makes me sick about this culture now. It's so many unhappy people in America. All they can do is gripe and groan and complain and act like they've got everything bad. Let me tell you something right now. This is the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. There is no place like it where you can go buy food and you can get clothing and you can get anything you want. I'm telling you what, I think God in heaven, I think the Heavenly Father sometimes is going outside of His presence to us and saying, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Are you so unthankful that you're going to gripe about everything going on? And I'm telling you right now, when people come through that door of that church, they need to see some people who's being married. I know I'm crying right now, but I tell you, I'm trying to preach my heart out to you that I don't want us to ruin revival. I want us to let God do all He'll do in our presence. I'm telling you, there's people in Wright County and Norwood and everywhere around us dying and going to hell. And sometimes I say, God, what else can we do?
where we can be faithful and we can remember where God brought us from and when God saved us and what He saved us from. I'm telling you right now, I don't care whether you like us or not. I don't care how you think about it. I don't care what's swirling in your mind. But this 66-year-old man who's been married to the same woman for 43 years would be burning in hell right now while you're having church if it were not for the mercy and grace of God. And if this ever man deserved hell, it was me. But God gave me mercy and He saved me. And I'm not going to hell, and my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've been given eternal life. And I'll tell you, someday He's coming back and I'm going to receive a new glorified body that'll be fashioned like in the body as His glorious body. And we're going to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible said, comfort one another with these words today. And I beg of this church this morning, I ask you individually, listen to these points. Let us not ruin revival. Let us let what God do, what He's trying to do with this church. I'm telling you right now, there are pastors across this country who are begging this church to stay going, who are begging you people and me to stay true to God. They're literally begging us, stay in the saddle, stay in the saddle. Don't give up. We appreciate you. Help us. Amen. Don't let revival. Now I'm going to ask you something. If it were Sunday morning, Brother Dan Friend and Sister Connie didn't open the doors, who would you open it? Brother Danny, would you care to come up here for just a minute? I don't want to bother you. I know you're a quiet person, but would you care to come? I want to ask you, who's going to have the lights on? Who's going to turn the heat on? Now, I'm going to tell you who in just a little bit. Listen to me tight, because we can talk about all America all we want to, but until the church gets back to where it's in the Father's house, you listen to me. I do not know why God sent this man. But God sent this man and his family to this church. And I have never in my life, he don't like this, I can tell you. But he's the most faithful man I think I have ever known in my life.
Amen.
He never wants any praise. He never wants any recognition. He wants just to stay back out of the way. He wants God to get the glory in his church.
Amen.
But let me tell you about what makes this man a great man. He gets his sorry hide up on Sunday morning. Takes a shower. You do shower once in a while, Brother Ben. I know you probably think I don't. But you listen to me. And from the time his kids was little, they got up on Sunday morning. They came to church and they came beforehand. They unlocked the doors and they turned the lights on, set the heat or set the air conditioning. And I want to tell you something. What if you walked up here about 11 o'clock Sunday morning, the door's locked? It's because of people who are faithful, I'm talking faithful, to the house and the work of God that a church can do what it does. It is not because I'm behind that pulpit. You listen to me. It is because God has given us people who are faithful to God Almighty and they're not looking for man's deal.
Amen. Amen.
And let me tell you, I'm 66. Do you recognize it? The last 10 years that went by so fast, I'm just like, blink. If 10 more years goes by, I'm 76. I don't know whether I'll be here or whether I'll have the energy to stand up and preach or not, whether I'll have the health to if I am alive. But certainly in 20 years, when some of you will just be 40, who is going to be faithful?
Right.
And let me tell you, all across this country, if you don't believe me, talk to preachers, talk to pastors. They say, Reggie, America's in trouble because the people who claim to be saved are just bopping along. They don't have a clue what it means to sacrifice for God, to be steady and dependable for the work of the Lord. Danny, I want to say thank you for being every preacher ought to have somebody like this, and I've got several people like this, but Danny he's just pretty special about having church open and things going. Danny, I want you to know I love you.
It's not just me, it's my wife too.
I know it's your wife, but I was just going to try to, it's Father's Day, and I was going to get you all the credit. Thank you, Danny, I appreciate it. Listen to me this morning. We're going to close out. I know it's late, but I don't apologize. I'm preaching what God put on my heart.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, I'm going to be up here for a little bit. If you want to be saved, I promise you. I had a boy come up to me this morning and said, I need to be saved. I said, go talk to your daddy. I told him. Amen. Daddies ought to lead your children to Christ. Amen. You kids go talk to your daddy. You can talk to mama.
And I tell you what, if they say, well, I'm not comfortable, bring them to me. We'll show them the way to glory land. Amen. So if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to tell you, don't die and go to hell. You ain't got a promise of tomorrow. You got a promise you'll be back tonight. But we're going to stand and let you go home, eat a big Father's Day. My wife's got a roast about that big, and she got onions and carrots and potatoes. And ain't no telling what else. Brother Lutz, what a blessing you've been to me. Would you dismiss us from our service today? Hey, guys, I just love y'all. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you tonight. Don't even know what we're going to do, but we'll be here.